Okay, Daf Gimel in Maseches Brachos. We got up to yesterday the fourth line from the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah had said Ad Sefer Shmura that the end time, according to Rabbi Elazar, the end time for saying Kriya Shema in the night is the end of the first watch. We had been discussing it on the assumption that there are three watches in the night, so you divide a 12-hour night into three, and it's 4 hours each, which would be, in our example, of a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. nighttime, so the end of the first watch would be 10 p.m. So the Gemara is asking, Ma'akasavar Rabbi Eliezer, with regards to the watches, so I've already been going on the assumption that there's three, but the Gemara says maybe that's not the right assumption. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold over here about the number of mishmores, the number of watches there are in the night? Ikasavar Shalish Mishmores Havalaila, if he thinks that the night is divided into three watches, so 4 hours each, is Leima Ad Arba Shois. So why doesn't he just say till the end of 4 hours into the night, and then it's very clear. We don't have to guess what he holds, and it will be 10 p.m., and that's it. Ve'ikasavar Arba Mishmores Havalaila, but maybe he might hold that there are four guard watches in the night, in which case it would be 3 hours each, and the end time for Shema would be 9 p.m. So if that's the case, Leima Ad Shalosh Shois, let him say 3 hours into the night, 9 p.m. And we're not sure what he's actually holding. We know end of the first watch, but we don't know whether that's 3 hours or 4 hours. So why didn't he just say three or four and not be ambiguous? Answer the Gemara of Ali Elam Kasavar Shalosh Mishmores Havi Alayla. Really, Rabbi Eliezer holds that there are three. Like we've been talking about till now, there are three watches in the night, and each watch is 4 hours. And therefore, the end of the first watch is 10 p.m. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say it in that fashion? L'chol kamashmalan, Rabbi Eliezer wants to teach us the ikar mishmaris berakia, the ikar mishmaris ba'ara. He wants to mention the union of watches, guard watches, to tell you that there are guard watches in the heavens, in the supernal realm where God's hanging out, and there are mishmaris on the earth for people. They have their nightly guard watches as well, and there are three of them. And he wants to tell us that the downstairs Olam Hazeh watches correspond to the three watches in Rakia, in the heavens. What's all that about? The Tanya is related to Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, the same Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Shalosh Mishmaris Havalaila. So very clear, Rabbi Eliezer holds there are three watches in the night of 4 hours each. What happens during those watches? We'll call Mishmar on Mishmar. On each watch, Yeshiva Kodesh Baruch Hu Vishaye Kari. God sits, Kodesh Baruch Hu sits, and he roars like a lion. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, it's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is roaring as a sign of pain for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, Hashem Yimorim Yishog, Hashem will roar from heaven, from Morim. Umimoin Kotcha Yiten Koiloi, and he will give his voice from his place of his abode, his holy abode. Sho'og Yishag al Naveyu, and he is roaring in his place. So the word Sho'og is the word Yishag, Sho'og Yishag three times in the Pasuk refers to the three Mishmores, the three watches. And that's what Hashem does in those three watches. The Simon Ladover, and if you want to know what the Simon is on earth, so to speak, for those one of those three times, Mishmar Rishon Lechamor Noir, the first Mishmar, the donkey is braying, Shnia, the second Mishmar is Malachim Tzayakim, Kolavim Tzayakim, the dogs are barking. And Shlishi is Tin again in Mishtei Imoi, Veisha Misaperis in Baile. In the third watch, the last part of the night, a child is nursing from his mother, and a woman is speaking with her husband. In other words, it's getting time towards waking up time, so people who've been asleep are starting to wake up, so they just have a bit of a chat with the person who they're with. So those are the three times. Now, the problem is that each Mishmar is a 4-hour range. So when you say these three things, these three simonim of the donkey braying and the dogs barking and the child feeding, is that talking about, they don't, obviously don't do those things for 4 hours straight. So which one is it? Is my kachoshi revelator? What is with this simonim? What is he referring to? Itchila mishmoris kachoshi. If he's giving you a simon for when is the beginning of each of these three mishmoris, that's all good and well. But tchilas mishmor rishonah siman alamoli. Why do I need a sign to indicate to me when is the beginning of the first mishmor? The first mishmor is at the beginning of the night. Tesek achavim. So I don't need another sign that the donkey's braying. Just tell me the first mishmor. The first mishmor starts at the beginning of the night. Tesek achavim. So why mention the donkey braying? Urtahu, it's nighttime, it's the beginning of the night. And if Seif Mishmar is Kachashiv, if Rabbi Lez is giving you a sign to know when is the end of the first Mishmar, so the end of the first Mishmar is the donkey braying, the end of the second Mishmar is the dogs barking, the end of the third Mishmar is the morning. So you don't need a simon for that. It's Seif Mishmar Achrein, Alam Alei Simona, Yamamahu, that's daytime. So what does he need three simonim for? There's only like 2 points in the middle of the night. And the other point is either the beginning of the night or the end of the night, when it's first thing in the morning. Ella, says the Gemara, what is he doing is, he's mixing it. Chashiv Seif Mishmar Rishayna. First he is looking at the end. First Simon is the end of the first Mishmar. So at 10 p.m., the donkey brays. Tchilas Mishmar Achreina. The beginning, for the last Mishmar, he's giving you a sign when it starts. So when the baby feeds at 2 a.m. And Emtsois Demtsa Isa. The other sign of the dogs barking in the middle Mishmar is the middle of the middle, 12 p.m. So he's giving you signs of 10 and 12 and 2. So that's one way of looking at it. Or I can tell you that Kulu Seif Mishmaris Kachashiv. They're all talking about the end. So the donkey brays at 10 p.m. and the dogs bark at 2 a.m. and the child feeds at 6 a.m. V'chi Teima Achrein Alot Tzarech, the last one, L'chayri, you don't need a simin because it's just morning and you know that when morning is L'ma Nafkemina. Why is he telling you? Because the mikra kriyshma, because that's going to be the time for shma in the morning. The man to goni bebayisofel. If someone is in a dark house, the lo yod does man kriyshma emas, and therefore he's not able to use. We're going to have later on the simonim of how do you know when is it time to read the shma in the morning, and it's going to be talking about different opinions when you can tell between tcheles lekarsi, between tcheles lelavon. All of those things are assuming that you've got natural light and are able to tell that it's morning. What if you're in a dark house and all the blinds are drawn and it's pitch black and you don't know that it's light yet? So then you'll know that even the isha misaperis in baila vatina kyonik mishtayim, if the kid woke up for his feed and the husband and wife are whispering in their room, is leku malikri, he knows that it's time to get up and say shema without having to rely on it being seeing the light of the morning. Okay, now back on these mishmaris. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav, Shalish mishmaris have a laila. Like we've been saying, there are three watches of the night, 4 hours each. We all call mishmar and mishmar. Yeshiv Kodesh Baruch Hu v'shayikari. This is similar to what Rabbi Eliezer said before in the other brisa, that on each mishmar Hashem sits and roars like a lion. V'oimer, what does he say after he finishes roaring? Woe to the children, because of their sins I've destroyed my house, and I burnt the Hechel, and I sent them into Golos amongst the nations of the world. I was once walking on the way, and I went into one of the ruins of Yerushalayim to daven there. I needed to daven, and I went to a quiet place, so I went into this churva. Eliyahu Navi came, may he be mentioned for the good, Zachol HaToiv, and he was waiting for me until I finished davening. After I finished davening, Amali, he said to me, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. He gave me respect of calling me Rabbi, says Rabbi Yossi, and he said, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, my teacher. Amarti Eloi, I said to him, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Yomairi, my rabbi and my teacher. So we gave nice greetings to each other. Ve'yomar li, and then Eliyahu Navi said to me, B'ni, my son, Mipnei ma nichnasta l'churva zay, what did you go into this churva for, this ruin? Amarti Eloi, I told him, l'hispal, I went into daven. Ve'yomar li, he said to me, Hayo l'chol hispal al baderech, you shouldn't have gone into the ruin, you should have just davened out in the street, on the road. I said to him, I was scared to daven out on the street. Maybe the passers by will interrupt me and disturb me, and I wouldn't be able to daven. So I thought I'll go into a quiet place. And he said to me, even so, you should have done an abbreviated version of the Shemoneh Esrei. We're going to learn later on that there are different situations where a person is necessary to do an abbreviated version of Shemoneh Esrei. There's a bracha called Havineinu, which is a summary of all the middle brachas, and that would make it a lot shorter rather than the full Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore he could do that quickly without being disturbed by the people passing by. And so Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Yossi that he should have done the abbreviated davening. Is Ba'ayt Shoshua, says Rabbi Yossi, at that time, from the words of Eliyahu HaNavi, Lamadati Yemen Shloisha Dvarim, I learned three things. Number one, Lamadati She'en Nichnasin L'Churba. Number one, you shouldn't go into a ruin. Number two, Lamadati She'en Mispaladim Baderech, that you can daven on the road. And number three, Lamadati She'en Mispalad Baderech, Mispalad Tvila Kitzara, that if you do daven on the road, you should daven the abbreviated version, so you'll manage to finish it before you get disturbed. That was Derech Aga, but the story's not finished yet. The Yomar Li, Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Yossi, Bini, my son, Ma Kol Shamata B'Churba, what did you hear in that Churba, in that ruin? Did you hear anything? Well, Martilay, and I said to him, yes, I did hear something. Shamati Basko, I heard a Basko, a voice from the Shemayim, Shemanahenes Kayoyme, it was cooing like a dove, by Marison saying, "Oy labonim, woe to the children, Shabbat v'neseyam achrafti is basi, that with because of their sins, I destroyed my Beis Hamikdash, v'sarafti asecholi, and I had to burn the heichal, v'glisim levena umais, and I sent them into exile amongst all the nations." V'yal marli, and the Yahu Navi said to me, "Yeah, chayecha v'chaye reishcha, that's like a lashon of a shvua, like I promised to you." Loi Shah Zebul Varim Eris Kach. This Baskel is not just saying it just now. What you heard was not a one-off thing. Ela Bechol Yoim Vayoim, every single day, Shalish Pa'omim, three times a day, Eris Kach. It says this. Loi Zebul Var, not only that. Ela Bechol Shishol Nichnas in the Batek Nesir Subbat Midrashis. When the Yidden come into Shuls or into Batek Medrash to Davin, Ve'oinim, and they answer Yehei Shmei, Hagadol Mavorach, which is just a Hebrewized version of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavorach, what we say, the answering of Kaddish. When Hashem hears that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menanei HaReishoi, God nods his head in agreement, V'yomer, and he says, Ashrei HaMelech, fortunate is the king, Shemekalsim HaSeh B'Veisei Kach, that they praise him in his house, that i.e. in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaKnesset, the Beis HaMidrash, this is how they praise him. And then God says, yeah, but now, Ma'ale La'ov Shehigul Ezbonah, What is it? What good is it for a father when he has exiled his children? And woe is to the children who have been exiled from their father's table. So the Churban was not a good thing, is the upshot of all that. Okay, now the question is, Eliyahu told Rabbi Yossi not to go into this ruin. Question is, why not? What's wrong with going into a ruin? Tana Rabbana, but then the Nebraisa. There are three reasons why one should not go into a ruin. And they are, Mipnei Chashad, because he will be suspected, we'll see in a minute, he'll be suspected that he's got there a Zoyna, a woman waiting for him there, and that's why it's in a secluded place. Mipnei Hamapoilis, because it might fall down on him, and it's possibly dangerous to go into a ruin, a condemned building. And Mipnei Hamazikin, because the spiritual demons, the Mazikin, the Shadim, whatever, they may be hanging around there ready to do him some harm. So because three reasons, he shouldn't go into a ruin. Now, says the Gemara, why do I need three reasons? Mipnei chashad, why do I need to say the reason that he might be, people will suspect him of having a woman in there, maybe Tepe claim Yishum HaPoilis, why don't we just say one reason's enough to say that you shouldn't go into a ruin because it might fall down on you. That would be enough to keep you away from a ruin, L'chaira. Turn the page. And for the Gemara, Becharati, because let's say we're talking about a ruin, which is a recent ruin. It's new, literally. That means it's still kind of stable. It's not condemned yet. Just some of the walls fallen down. So you would think it's stable. If it's stable, I don't have to worry that it's going to fall on my head. And therefore, without the other reasons, I would say it's okay to go in there. Okay, so then the Gemara says, but nevertheless, even there, Tepekle Mishum Mazikin. If in secluded ruins is hanging out there Mazikin, then why do I need, again, why do I need to talk about a chashad of a woman why isn't it enough just to say you shouldn't go in there because there could be mazikin in there? So the Gemara answers, betray, because we're talking about where there's even two people together. Because with two people together, we know that there's no thing, nothing to worry about, that people will suspect them of being with a woman, because we know the din is that two men can be misyachid with one woman, and there's no chashash from yichud that there's something's going to happen, because there's two men there, they're not going to do something unless it's private. So therefore there wouldn't be chayshid. Well, the Gemara says, if your problem is, or if your situation is to say that even if there's two people that can't go in there, as you betray, is chashad nam, sorry, I didn't say it. Betray means that mazikin don't damage two people. So he wants to tell you that, so that if you don't have to worry about mazikin, you have to worry about chashad. And then the Gemara says, but ibetrei chashad nami lekka. If there's two people, you don't have to worry about chashad either. So we don't have to worry about mazikin, and we don't have to worry about chashad. So why do I need to mention all those reasons? Why don't we just talk about the, and if it's a mapolis, that's fine, but if it's a brand new wall, so there's no worry about mapolis, and there's two people, there shouldn't be anything to worry about at all to be able to go in there. So the Gemara says that you would be right, but we're talking about treyu pritzi. There are two people, but they are not such well-behaved people. So when do we say there's no chashash and a woman, and there's no problem of yichud with a woman and two men? If the two men are upstanding, well-behaved citizens. But if the two men are known to be misbehaving, then even two men would be also to have yichud, and therefore there would also be the chashad if two men go into this churva, that maybe there's a woman waiting for them over there. Okay, so that's the chashad. Then the Gemara said, we learned in the Braisa that you can't go into a churva because it might fall down on you. Again, why do I need that reason? Tepukle mishum chashad amazikin, and why isn't it enough to have the other two reasons? That we're worried that people will suspect you of having a woman there, or because the mazikin will come and damage you. So the Gemara says that one's talking about betrayed ksheri. So that's talking about if you have two people who are well-behaved, so you don't have to worry about chashad because they're well-behaved. You don't worry about mazikin because mazikin only bother people when they're by themselves. And West wishes with Nehemiah Pelis if it's a wall that is likely to fall down. So it's not a recently ruined building. It's it's an older condemned building. Okay. So now that we have that, Nehemiah Mazikin, why do I need a third reason? That we shouldn't go into a churva because there's mazikim there. Tepuklei nechashadam apolis. Why isn't it enough to have the other reasons? Either that because people will suspect he's got a woman there, or because it might fall down on him. So the Gemara answers the situation where you need the third reason is bechurva charati. If it's a new ruin, so then you don't have to worry about mapolis. You don't have to worry if it's going to fall down on you. And betray a ksheri, and you have two well-behaved people. So they don't have to worry about chashad either. No one's going to suspect that he's got a woman in there. I've read the Gemara, but he betray if there's two people. Mazikinami leko, then they don't have to worry about mazikin either. So when is there a circumstance where you'll have to worry about mazikin and you don't have to worry about chashad? And for the Gemara, b'mekoimon chashinon. Even though generally mazikim do not bother more than one person, so two would be fine. But in a case where it's their home ground, so to speak, it's where the mazikim live. They live in churvas. So if you're in the place which is specially misubal for mazikim, then even if there's two, they could bother you. The iboy same, or I can tell you that we're talking about one person. Yeah, if it's one person, l'chayri got the other reasons. So we're talking about a churva charati, a new ruin, so he doesn't have to worry about mapolas, he doesn't have to worry that it's going to fall on him. And the koi bedabra, also he's way out on the sticks in the bush, in the fields. Yeah, the hasam mishum chashad leka. The dabra is like the word midbar. Yeah, because he doesn't have to worry about chashad. Isha bedabra leshchicha. No one's going to think that you're out in the middle of the on the nolabar somewhere that there's going to be a woman waiting for you over there. So there's no chashad, and there's no, and it's a newly ruined ruin, so you don't have to worry about it falling down on you. But mishum aziki nika. But you would have to worry that maybe there's shady hanging out there. Okay. That's the end of the churva bit. The reason we brought that whole bit was because Eliyahu HaNavi was mentioning the fact that God was roaring and complaining. God was complaining about the golos and the destruction, and Hashem's upset about it, which follows on from the previous topic, which was that in the three watches of the night is when Hashem is roaring like a lion and sort of mourning for the churva. Okay, back to the Mishmoros. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Brice. Arba Mishmoros have a lila divrei Rebbe. So now it's a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer before said there are three watches in the night. Rabbi says there are four. Rabbi Nosson Eimer Shalosh, and Rabbi Nosson says three, which is the same as Rabbi Eliezer before. What's the reason for these two opinions? My time at Rabbi Nosson. Where does Rabbi Nosson get the idea that there are three? Tichsiv, as it says in the pasuk. So Gidon was one of the shoftim, and he went and he fought against the Midianim, and it says there, Vayavoy Gidon umeya isha sher itoy. Gideon and 100 of his men went with him at the edge of the camp, at the beginning of the middle Ashmeira, the beginning of the middle watch. So what's a middle watch? In order to have a middle, mathematically speaking, you have to have equal numbers on each side. Says Tana, we learn the Rabbi, in order to call it the middle, you have to have before and after the same amount. So therefore, you need an odd number, basically, in order to have the same number before and after, and you have a middle one, so there has to be three, and there's the middle one, is the middle one, and then you have one on each side, one before, one after. So therefore, that's how we learned that there are three. How does Rebbe explain that, the middle watch? Rebbe will tell you, my tichayna, achas minat tichayna sheba tichayna, it means one of the middle ones. If you have one, two, three, four, then two and three are both called the middle, and it was one of those, one of two or three. And Rav Nosson will tell you, Miksiv Tichayna Shepet Tichayna. It doesn't say one of the middle ones, two or three. Tichayna Ksiv, it just says the middle one. The middle one is only one, so that means there's only three Mishmores. So that's Rav Nosson's Shita. Rebbe says, my time at the Rebbe says four, is Omer of Zreika, Omer of Ami, Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Kosev Echadoy Merchatzois, Laila Okum Lahoydes Lachal Mishpadei Tzikecha. And David HaMelech says, I got up at midnight, Chatzois Laila, to thank you, to thank you, to praise you for your righteous judgments. So one pasuk says, I get up at midnight that my eyes got up early. I opened my eyes, ashmurais, which is plural. So that means what? If you got up at midnight, that means it wasn't morning yet. Morning, normal time to get up is to open your eyes is in the morning. If you got up at midnight, and it was Ashmurais. So the smallest number of plural number of Ashmurais is two. That means there are two watches in between midnight and the morning. So if there's two watches from the midnight to the morning, that means altogether there's four. Okay, it's that Av Mishmurais have a Lila. So therefore, Rebbe says that there are four watches in the night. How is Rav Nosson going to explain that? Rav Nosson, Savalok Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Nosson, hold like Rabbi Yeshua, Ditnan Rabbi Yeshua, Merat Shalish Shoyes. Rabbi Yeshua says, we're going to learn later on, what is the end time for Kriya Shema in the morning? Rabbi Yeshua is going to teach us that it is 9 a.m. In other words, 3 hours into the day, if again, using the 6 and 6 as an example. So 3 hours into the day, 9 a.m. Says Rabbi Yeshua, why is that the end of the Zman of Kriya Shema Shal Shachri, Suvekumecho, when you get up? Because it came Derech Melochim Lamed B'Shal HaShoyis. Because kings get up 3 hours into the day, 9 a.m. And therefore, because kings get up 3 hours into the day, in the third hour, not 3 hours into the day, but in the third hour, that means that if you get up two mishmores before everybody, David HaMelech is saying, I got up 2 hours, not two ashmores before the morning, but two ashmores before the other kings. David HaMelech was the king. And therefore, what is it? Shlista Laila, he gets up at midnight. So there's 6 hours left of the night. Shisa Delelya, retired to the Imamah. And then the next 2 hours in the morning, where David HaMelech was awake and the other kings are asleep, because they only get up at the third hour, is Havalahush, Dei Mishmori. So he gets up 8 hours before all the other kings, and 8 hours is two Mishmorois. But really, there's only three Mishmorois in the night, and the 8 hours consists of the last 6 hours of the night plus the first 2 hours of the morning. Nothing to do with the actual guardings in the night, but it's just a simon that it was 8 hours and he got up at midnight. Okay. Now that was the answer. That's one answer the Gemara gives. And Rabbi Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi says, I can tell you that there's no question in the first place. Even if David HaMelech was talking about that he got up a number of watches before the morning, it can be 1.5. He gets up at midnight. It's what? 1.5 Mishmoris. The plural word mishmoris can be used for 1.5. When you talk about 1.5 somethings, you actually use the plural word. You say 1.5 hours. You don't say 1.5 hour. So even though it's not two, it's 1.5, you can still use the word Ashmurois. Very simple. Okay, now says the Gemara, Vayta, the next bit, which is Rav Zreika, in the name of Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Shua ben Levi, is a different topic altogether. But because he was the one who just said that sequence of Rav Zreika, in the name of Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Shua ben Levi, was the one who said that the reason of Rebbe is because of Chatzos Laila and Kodnu Einai Ashmurais, so therefore we're quoting another thing from Rav Zreika, in the name of Rav Ami, in the name of Rav Shua ben Levi. There were, presumably weren't that many in Shas, so they... So we bundle them together. The Omar of Zreika, Omar of Ami, Omar of Yeshua ben Levi. Ein Omerim Bifnei HaMeis Ela Dvarav Shal Meis. When you're at a funeral and the Nifter is in front of you, so you cannot talk about things other than to do with the Meis, Hespedim and other things like that, but you can't talk about other things. Okay, so that's the halacha that Rav Yeshua ben Levi said. Omar of Ava Bar Kahana, Lo Yomaron Ela B'Divrei Torah. What he means is that you cannot talk Divrei Torah, because if you talk Divrei Torah, it's like what we call Loyeg LaRosh. You're mocking the dead, because a dead person can't learn Torah. If you are standing there in front of a dead person and you're saying Divrei Torah, it's like you're making fun of him. Haha, we can still say Torah and you can't. So therefore, we don't say Divrei Torah in front of a mace. Avomila de Alma Las Lamba. But if you're just talking stam things in the world, Dvarim B'Tehillim or whatever the football scores, then you can do it. The Ika Diamri, some say Omar Rav Abba Bar Kahana. No, Lo Yamar Nel Divrei Torah. He was talking, Rav Shulam Levi was talking about Divrei Torah, but Kol Shekein Mila Da Alma. But how much more so that you can't talk other Dvarim B'Tehillim? Because B'chol shouldn't be talking Dvarim B'Tehillim. So certainly not in front of it. It's not respectful in front of a dead guy. So basically, you shouldn't talk anything in front of a dead person except Dvarim Shal Meis, things that are related to the Meis or to the funeral, etc. Okay. So that was that was a little bit interlude, which is Rav Zreika and the name of Rav Ami and the name of Shur ben Levi. Now the Gemara goes back to the Etzim Inyan of David HaMelech. So what was the raya that according to Rebbe there were four mishmoros because David HaMelech woke up at midnight? Fred the Gemara takazay v'David apagadalei havakoy. Did David actually wake up at midnight? Now you're to havakoy. David HaMelech says that he was up even at the beginning of the night. Dichtiv ki damti v'neshef. I got early at Neshef, and we're assuming Neshef here means evening, as it's becoming nighttime. And I davened. I mean, my dahin Neshef urta. How do I know that Neshef is urta the evening? That it says in the Neshef, which is what be'erev yoim, as the day sets. Again, the word erev, like we said yesterday. Erev is the evening, comes from the word Ma'ariv, which is west when the sun sets. So it means that Neshef is in the evening. Ki'ishay laila v'afela, when the darkness of the night, and the another word for darkness, afela. So we see that Neshef is evening. And he says, I'm up in the evening. That means he was up all night, basically. So what do you mean he got up at midnight? This is what David says. La'ovar olay chatzos laila b'sheina. Midnight never happened while I was asleep. So when he says I got up at midnight, it doesn't mean he got up at midnight. He means I was always awake before midnight, so when midnight came, I was always awake. So he woke up earlier than that. Rab Zera says, no, Itaka didn't sleep at all, but there were different levels. Al-Chatzos, Laila, before midnight, he was dozing off like a horse. The horses, I believe, sleep standing up. That means they're not really asleep, they're dozing off. So David HaMelech dozed off until midnight. So he was like a horse dozing off until midnight. And after that, he was strong like a lion, and he did his Torah. Rav Ashi Amar, Ad Chatzos Laila Ha'Yosef B'Divrei Torah. There were two sessions. Until midnight, he was learning Torah. And he came ve'elach b'shiras v'shish bachis. That pasuk from midnight was L'Hodes L'cha. Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodes Lecha. So when did he start the Hidah, the Shvach, the Saint Tilim? It was after midnight. L'chayra, this is the reason for the meaning that we don't say Tilim at night until after midnight. The David HaMelech would be learning the first half of the night, and he only said Tilim after midnight. Okay, Frederik Amar Avaiter Veneshef. You tried to prove again. So your question was that David HaMelech was awake even before midnight, in the early evening, because it says Neshef, and you brought that pasuk to say Neshef means Erev, but Neshef Urtahu Taka doesn't mean morning, well, Nefesh Safrahu. I can prove to you that Neshef means morning. Tichsiv, but Yakim David may have Neshef Aviyara Erev, the Machrasam. That David says, I smote them from Neshef till evening. So we assume that Neshef till evening, you would normally guess that it means from morning till evening. It's my love, mitzafra vadleila. It doesn't mean morning till evening. It says, Gemara loy, may urta viyad urta, from one evening to the next. So it was a 24-hour smiting going on. Zihachi, if the Neshef and the Erev are exactly the same thing, as lichtev me Neshef ar han Neshef, why use two different words if they're both talking about the same thing? So just to confuse us. Elam Arava, Trey Nishrahava. Rava says, Taka Neshef can mean both. Neshef well, yeah, as your mama. Neshef means moving. Shaf miduchte is an expression used when it talks about moving from your place. It talks about also a bone that moved out of place. It uses the word shaf. So Neshef, we're saying, comes from that word. And it means night moved out of the way, as your mama, and day came. Or shaf yamama va'asyalaya, the day moved out of the way and the night came. So any transition, either between night and day or between day and night, is called neshev. And therefore there's no more kashas. Okay, Fred the Gemara Vaiter, v'David ha-melech, v'David, mi hava yata pagalaya emas. The next question is, when David talked about midnight, how do you know when midnight is? You can't use a sundial in the middle of the night. So how do you know when it's midnight? Hashta meshe rabbeinu lehava yada. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when it was midnight. Dichsiv, Bachatos halal on Yetzir Masech Mitzrayim. The Eibishter said to Moshe, at the stroke of midnight, I'm going to go in Egypt and kill all the firstborns. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kachatos. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Egyptians, approximately midnight, I'm going to go out into Egypt and God's going to kill all the firstborns. My kachatzos, what do you mean approximately midnight? If the Eibishter told Moshe approximately midnight, why does Hashem have to say approximately? Hashem doesn't know exactly when midnight is. Why does he have to make it approximate, more or less? Elo de Omale Bachatzos. The Eibishter told Moshe that it will be exactly at midnight. Well, also, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went and talked to the Egyptians, he said approximately, because he didn't know exactly when it's going to be midnight. When he says, I'm going out into the street, so he wouldn't know exactly when it's midnight, so it'll be approximately going out into the street, and then at midnight, God will kill him. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know exactly when midnight was. But David have a yada. And Moshe Rabbeinu presumably had a more of a direct connection to what Hashem is doing. If he couldn't work out when midnight is, then how could David HaMelech know when midnight is? And for the Gemara, David Simona Havale. David had a sign to help him. He had an alarm clock. The Amar Rav Acher Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kinar Haya Tolu L'Mailu Mitosu Shel David. David had the harp that was hanging above his bed. The Kevin Shegiach Chatzos Laila. When the stroke of midnight came, came a northerly wind, then a boy and blew on the strings of the harp, and the harp played by itself, and that was the alarm clock. So David HaMelech knew as soon as the harp starts playing, it's exactly midnight. So then he would get up and learn Torah, even though before we said he was doing Tillim then, but it's all part of Torah. I don't think it's meant to be Dafki Astira. Archa Olam and Ashachar till the morning. Then, just to continue with David HaMelech Seder Hayoim, when the morning came, came the leaders of the Bnei Yisrael to David, and he said to him, Adonenu HaMelech, Am Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. We need Parnasa another day, we need some more cover the expenses. We need to make Parnasa, we need to make a living. He said, what's the problem? We've got a good economy. Go out, do business, and make money with each other. What are you coming to me for? They told him, Ein hakomets masbir esari. A handful is not enough to satisfy a lion. In other words, from a domestic economy, it's not enough. We have to globalize. We can't just manage with our own domestic stuff. You cannot fill up when you dig out a pit. if you take all of the earth that you dug out and you're trying to fill it up again, it won't get to the top. There's always something that gets lost on the way somewhere. So the same thing over here. We can't have a zero-sum economy where everybody's going to have enough. You know, some kind of a socialist utopia. That isn't going to work. Yet we have to globalize and bring in more parnosa from outside. So he said to them, so go and make an army, and you'll go and conquer other places and get some parnosa from there. So they thought, oh, okay, so we're going to go out to war. So the first thing they did was they got strategy, war strategy from Achisofel. Achisofel, of course, is the fellow, if you're in Pirkei Avos, where David said, when David learned from him two things, and he called him Rabbi Alufei Yudoi, and he was David HaMelech's army strategist, until, unfortunately, he changed sides with the Maase of Avshalom, and he took Avshalom's side in the rebellion, and it didn't work out, and that was the end of Achisofel. But originally, Achisofel was David HaMelech's advisor, so they got the strategy from Achisofel, the Nimlochim B'Sanhedrin. Then they went and asked the Psak Din from the Sanhedrin if they're allowed to do it. And then, as a final thing, Sheolim B'Urim V'Tumim, not if they're allowed to. They already got a Psak from Sanhedrin. So the Urim V'Tumim was to find out if they're going to be Matzliach or not. Because even if halachically they were allowed to do it, but if the Urim V'Tumim would tell them they're going to fail, they probably wouldn't have done it. So those were the three steps. Omar Rav Yosef, what's the pasuk that tells us those three steps? Ma'akro, V'Achrei Achisofel, after Achisofel, was B'Nayahu Ben Yehoyada, and Evyasar, and Sar Tzvah LeMelech Yoyev. So, and the king's army officer who was Yoyev ben Tzruya. So, what were those things in that pasuk? First was Achisofel Zer Yoyev, he was the strategist. V'cheinu emer batzas Achisofel asher yat b'yomehem, that the Eitzah, the strategy of Achisofel, which he gave in those days, asher yishal v'gar lekim, when he would ask about, well, according to what Hashem wanted, top of the page. And then the next part of the pasuk says, B'nayahu ben Yehoyada, that refers to the Sanhedrin. That refers to the Sanhedrin. He was the head of the Avbezdin of Sanhedrin. And then Avyasar, who was the Kohen Gadol, Elu Urim Bitumim, that they would ask the Urim Bitumim, the breastplate, which would give answers when they asked. And it was the Kohen Gadol doing that with his Chosh. V'cheinu Omer, how do I know this? Because they had a similar pasuk, B'nayahu ben Yehoyada. First was B'nayahu ben Yehoyada, the Reish Avbezdin of the Sanhedrin. And then ala crazy vala placey. The word crazy and placey refers to the Urim V'Tumim. Why is it used the expression crazy and placey? V'lomen yikrashmei crazy u placey. Crazy shekursim divrayim. They cut the words. In other words, they say clear, decisively what to do. So it's to cut it clearly, clear cut. That's the word I wanted. A clear cut thing. So that's called crazy and placey. Comes from the word pele, which means a wonder, shemufloyim v'divrayim, that they are wondrous in their words. And after that, v'yachakach, was sar tzavah l'melech Yoyev. Then only came the general Yoyev to gather the army and go out to war. Okay, we'll leave that over here.